It is the State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The legislature's Joint Finance Committee advances a bill that would cut taxes by $2.9 billion. We discuss how the plan could affect our state's financial position in the future with the Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Revenue. Peter Barca is here. You can call in, raise a question, add comments, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Secretary Peter Barca, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you, Kate. Great to be back with you again.
So last week we saw the Republican-controlled Joint Finance Committee votes to advance this Republican bill that would cut an estimated $2.9 billion in taxes. What effect would this change have on our state government's finances?
Well, the problem with it is that it would actually create a structural deficit in the next biennium. You know, we're projected to have about a $4 billion deficit at the end of this biennium. But the problem is that that tax plan is not sustainable. The governor put forward a tax plan that would give up to relief up to $170,000 in tax relief for families, and that is sustainable, and we could afford that over the long term. And so it's unfortunate that they haven't reached out to the governor and tried to find a good solution. I was surprised last week when the majority leader was asked directly whether or not he was reaching out to the governor, whether or not they wanted to work to create a solution that would work. And he said, no, we're good with what we have.
So the Republican proposal would cut the income tax rate by around 1% for individuals making between around $28,000 and $300,000 annually. Who would benefit the most from this type of tax cut?
Well, the governor really wants targeted tax relief, and that's why he's targeted those that were hurt most during the biennium. And you know, their plan doesn't quite do that. And that's why the governor wants to, you know, is looking for a compromise. He certainly would sit down with the Republicans. As you know, he was able to come to an accord on share revenue, which was extremely important for the communities across the state. And, you know, as I indicated, we do have a $4 billion surplus for this biennium, but going to the next biennium, their tax plan would actually create a structural deficit once again. And we certainly do not want to return to those years. I know even many Republicans have told me they don't want to return to the days of structural deficits.
So you're saying a large tax cut plan could be quite dangerous for our state's finances?
It could. You know, and Kate, as you well know, you know, the biggest issue right now is workforce and trying to ensure that we have enough workers to supply all of our businesses across the state. And right now we're 75,000 workers short because of the number of baby boomers that are retiring. So child care is such a vital element of what we do going forward. The governor proposed that we give 100% of the federal child care credit, which would make a difference. It would move the needle. But he also wants to invest money in the child care counts program because child care centers are running out of funds, and they desperately need this help. The governor also wants to put $22 million in the Partner Up program to help both the private and public sector work together, and it's worked. There's 220 businesses in the last couple of years that did this, and they provided child care for 1,200 kids. But what our economists tell us is the single biggest group of people that are on the sidelines are people with young children. And I'll tell you one statistic that nearly knocked me off my chair when I heard it, and that said it now costs more money. Now, hear this. It costs more money to put your infant in child care than it does to put your teenager in a UW school. And it's just gotten very expensive. It's a difficult situation that we're in, and we're running into really troubling times for child care centers, and they desperately need us to provide some support. So these are the kinds of focuses that the governor has had in making sure that we do have enough workers.
I want to jump in here and circle back around to taxes for a moment. On our show, the bill's author, Representative David Steffen, called the tax cut necessary You know, Stefan says the state has already received enough funding.
We have juiced every different entity that's currently funded through state government. They've all received significant increases as a part of this in the budget, but now there's still surplus. So let's get it back to the people. They know best how to spend their money for the issues and needs that they have.
Secretary Barca, how should this projected $4 billion budget surplus be used? It sounds like you would like to see it used on child care.
Well, no, the governor also does want targeted tax relief. In his budget, he put in enough funds to fund families up to $170,000, and he feels that that is where, you know, where we could best help those that are struggling right now. We, our economist told us that 80% of families have used up any surpluses that they had in their accounts during the pandemic. And so families are hurting at the middle-income level, and that's where the governor wants to target his relief. And this bill doesn't do that. And it also creates a structural deficit. And it doesn't do anything for child care.
We have Wisconsin Department of Revenue Secretary Peter Barca with us as we talk about a Republican proposal to cut income taxes. You can join in the conversation. Your questions and comments are welcome. 800-642-1234. The proposal includes a tax exemption for retirement income for up to $100,000 for individual filers. And the bill's authors say this provision would help keep retired Wisconsinites from leaving the state. What is your response to that?
Well, the governor said that he would support that type of a provision where we could help retirees to be able to afford living with dignity in their retirement years and to whatever degree it would help to keep people in the state. So the governor is supportive of that provision. In particular.
So, you know, in February, you had said Republican lawmakers and Governor Evers may be able to reach a compromise to lower taxes for the state's top income tax bracket. But Evers vetoed a tax cut for top earners, in the state budget this summer. Is the Evers administration still open to reducing taxes for top earners?
Well, the governor feels at this juncture, it's very clear that with the limited funds that we have available, that the focus really needs to be on the middle class and those struggling to get into the middle class. That's the heart of the governor's proposal. He realizes that that's who's been hurt most during the pandemic and the supply chain issues that we have, and that's where he would like the focus to be, and rightfully so. They desperately do need help.
So if Wisconsin, a scenario would put through a tax cut of the scale, is our state in jeopardy at all of the federal government clawing back some of our COVID relief dollars it received?
With the COVID relief dollars, I missed that part.
I'm just wondering if Wisconsin did put through a tax cut of this size, would the federal government take back any of the COVID relief dollars?
Well, that is the position of the federal government at this time. I mean, they have indicated that there has to be a maintenance of effort and that you really could not use it beyond a certain level for tax relief. And that's been their position all along. It's not clear, though, whether or not they actually go to court to get that money back.
The department's latest estimates, they show general purpose revenue collections grew 2% during the last budget year. That's nearly identical to projections by the state's legislative fiscal bureau. What do these estimates say about our state's economy?
Well, Wisconsin has actually fared well, Kate. Vis-a-vis the national government, our unemployment rates are still low. But there's no question there's been a little bit of a slowdown in revenue growth than we had the previous 5 years. We're still in better shape than the nation as a whole with our economy. But there's no question that as you look ahead, all the national economists as well as our Department of Revenue economists, feel like the the growth levels over the course of the next couple of years will be not be as strong as they had been, you know, the previous 4 or 5 years. So that's another, you know, issue to be mindful of. And, you know, we're required under our state constitution to have a balanced budget. So we're trying to be prudent and to make sure that we're looking out for the most important needs of Wisconsinites, you know, during this difficult time. And that's why the governor focused on historic increase in affordable housing, over $500 million. The governor also focused, you know, on things like infrastructure. And the next big focus is needs to be on child care and then help the middle class, actually.
We only have about 20 seconds left or so. Why do you see the slowdown in revenue growth? What would you point that to?
Well, I think that the economy as a whole has had some, you know, challenges nationally. Obviously, with the Fed's raising interest rates, that means that housing starts have slowed down dramatically. And then there's other sectors of the economy that, you know, are not quite as strong. You know, so as we look ahead, we feel Wisconsin will continue to exceed the national economy. But it certainly has slowed down nationally and in Wisconsin, albeit we are doing better than the nation as a whole.
Secretary Barka, thank you for joining us.
Kate, terrific to be with you. Thank you so much.
Peter Barka is Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Revenue. It is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Assembly Committee on Education hears testimony in a bill that would allow school districts to hire unlicensed school administrators. We examine the proposal with its author and hear from you. Call in with a question. You can share comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Bob Witke is a Republican representing the 62nd Assembly District in Racine. Representative Witke, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate.
Good morning.
Good morning to you all.
Yes. So lay this out for us. Why are you urging fellow lawmakers to allow school districts to hire unlicensed school administrators?
Okay. So first of all, let's clarify exactly what the bill does. I think there's a lot of what I would call not a clear understanding of what we do. So currently in current, and some of this came from the testimony that we heard this past week. Let's lay out what's in current state law. Currently, the largest school district in the state, Milwaukee Public School System, can hire administrators at what we, and the term administrator is basically used at the superintendent level without having a, quote, superintendent license as issued by the Department of Public Instruction. Okay, we learned in testimony this past week that evidently there is no issue with boards across the state doing the same. Just as a point of clarification, there are certain things that a superintendent has to do, and if a person doesn't have a license issued by the Department of Public Instruction, they would board would have to work with superintendent to get some things signatures that are required with certain programs and so on, and address certain issues. So, you know, the question you posed to me is why are we opening this up? Senator Strobel came to me based on some local boards that had come to him saying that they would like to open up the candidate pool further so that they can consider other people in some of their searches for superintendent level. In our area down here, you know, we have noticed that there are many instances where, you know, the same superintendent has gone through 3 to 4 different districts for various reasons. And so I agreed to do the bill with him the emphasis of the bill is all it does is open up the same opportunity for school boards across the state to be able to consider those that don't have a license. This doesn't mandate that we take away licenses, that we don't value the license, that boards can say, no, we would prefer to have someone with a license. This just opens up and says that in state law, boards are allowed to consider those that don't have a license. And I think one of the key things is to the board members for two different school districts that testified before us. One testified before us and said they were unsatisfied with a number of different candidates that actually had licenses in which they could have expanded their search. We also heard from one board member in which they actually hired someone that didn't have a DPI license after reviewing the candidates that they had in their pool. And then ended up hiring an individual without one, and they have made provisions to get that individual because of what they want to do to go through the licensing process. So our intent was to open up the pool of candidates at that level so that boards understand that they have this additional tool in their workplace.
So as you open up the pool and expand the pool through this type of ability, what skills, what experience or background should, instead qualify someone to oversee a school district?
That depends on what the local board is looking for. Ask the local board what they're looking for to lead their district. Many of them have different things that they're looking for. As we look at some of the things that are required to successfully operate a district, a lot of them are management abilities, the ability to lead people, the ability to have put the district on sound financial footing. Many of those things could be seen in someone that successfully manages a business, someone that could be a CFO in a particular size company. Like I said, this gives the board the ability to consider other candidates. And if you take a look at it, this is about not overlooking talent that we currently have. One of the other things that I think that you have to take a look at is that we, especially in where I sit, I'm constantly reminded of people want local control in their school districts. And also that there are barriers for some people to qualify candidates to actually get a license, whether it be financial, whether it be timing, et cetera. And some have maybe stalled in procuring that license because of some of the experiences that they've had, but they may make very good candidates moving forward. So, as I said, this is to give the local board the ability to do something that is already given to our largest school district in the state.
And I'm going to jump in here. Bob Witke with us, Republican State Assembly Representative out of Racine, as we talk about a bill that would allow school districts to consider unlicensed candidates for superintendent positions. You can join in with your question, share comments at any point. The number to talk is 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. You've brought up Milwaukee a couple times, and I'm just wondering, have you evaluated how this is working for Milwaukee schools? I mean, is there less turnover in Milwaukee?
Well, okay. So you have to go back quite a ways in history and the reason behind why they did this. One of the reasons that they did this is they found a candidate that they thought would be really good to lead their district, which was Dr. Howard Fuller. And I think most people in the education circles probably would tell you that Dr. Fuller is very student-centered and at the time was the right person to lead that district. They've chosen not to go in that direction moving forward, okay? But they have the ability to do so. And so I look at it and say if it's good for one district, why isn't it good for the other 421 across the state? In a time when we have workplace shortages in a number of different places, where let's say some candidates may or may not pursue something that have the talent that we would like to lead some of our districts, or that districts would like for that person to lead them, and just give, like I said, all it does is give this, it puts into statute, gives other school districts the ability to do this.
I just wanted to bring in a call. Reggie is with us from Oshkosh. Reggie, what's on your mind?
I know a lot of locally and nationally people have been advocating for a morality-based school structure, Christian fundamentalists really inserting themselves in school boards. Does this open up that for an easier way to get in schools?
Reggie, thank you. That was breaking up a bit there. Could you make that out, Bob Wicke?
I'm trying to see. I didn't quite.
Basically, inserting religion into public schools and concern there over school boards being able to open up that type of possibility with kind of wondering in that direction, in that vein.
Well, I guess I'm going to say this. Like here in Racine, where I was school board president for 2 years, we have 9 people on the board. It takes 5 positive votes to actually enact something. The only person, the only employee the board has is the superintendent, okay? And so it takes action by the board. It's not as though someone is just appointed. And so I don't think that this is promoting to have a certain type of person being able to get in, or make it easier for someone to get in. It's about allowing local school districts
to have more control. Let's go to Joe in Platteville with a question. Joe, hi. Go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering if your guest was going to do the same thing for plumbers and doctors and lawyers, just, hire anybody. This is kind of a Republican thing to try and deal with the shortages that were created by Act 10. Just let anybody teach or anybody.
Joe, thanks. Because we're short on time, Representative Wicke, would this have a cascading effect, opening up the door for other industries?
No. I'm just going to say no. That the same thing was brought up in the Senate testimony, saying, well, what if a municipality decided that this is a person that can be a doctor? Every single other different profession has different requirements. This is, once again, I'll go back to this. This has to do with action by the board. And people should note that it was made clear to me by the DPI and some of my other colleagues on the committee that, well, a board can actually hire someone right now, call them a CEO, and then work out all the other details. And that's not, we're just putting it to statute. So that gives the board better flexibility around this issue.
Thank you for joining us. Bob Wicke, Republican representing the 62nd Assembly District in Racine. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.